Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 11. About this time in Jesus' ministry, according to the Gospel of John, is when he raised Lazarus from the dead. After that, if you put the Gospels together, he went into a remote area of Judea for just a few days. It was only weeks from his crucifixion. It was on the horizon. And then from Judea, he went north through Samaria into Galilee. And in Galilee, he was going to join a caravan headed back to Jerusalem so he could be there for the Passover feast. So it was about the spring of AD 30. And at that point that Jesus departs from Judea to go up through Samaria to Galilee is where Luke starts the account that we're going to look at tonight, starting in verse 11, going down through verse 19. So, Luke 17, verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So again, after raising Lazarus from the dead, he was headed for Jerusalem, but he took a roundabout way and went north to Galilee and then back to Jerusalem. Verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So this village was in Galilee. 10 men who had the disease of leprosy met him. Now, in keeping with the law and the regulations that existed in that day, the Bible says that they stood afar off. Those that had leprosy could not live with their families. They could not live in the city. They had to live outside the city. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, the Bible says, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And so God gave Moses the instruction, again, that if anybody had leprosy, they had to live outside the camp, and they could approach no one. In fact, if they were on a road and somebody that was coming toward them, they had to give that person coming toward them a warning that they had leprosy. And the person that had leprosy had to cross over to the other side of the road, put a rag over his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, so that the person approaching would know that that person had leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that was passed by contact. And so God gave instructions to avoid that contact. But the folks that had leprosy had to live apart from everybody else, and they could not approach anyone at all. And so these 10 men had leprosy, and they were lawful men in that they stood afar off from Christ. They did not approach him closely, as was the demands of the law. Yet, they did not let the distance that they had to maintain keep them from crying out to Jesus for help. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so they acknowledged Jesus as Master or Lord. What they were saying is, you have the power to help us. You have the power to cure this disease that we had. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he'd probably healed several that had leprosy. We read in the Gospels on four or five different occasions where he met those that had leprosy and healed them. And the book of John says that the things that are recorded in the gospel are only a part of what Jesus did. That if everything that he did was recorded, the world couldn't hold the books. And so he probably healed scores of those that had leprosy. These 10 men, in all probability, had heard that Jesus had done that. And so they, again, keeping the proper distance to separate themselves from somebody that was clean, they cried out with a, they lifted up their voices and cried out. Now again, I think they did it with loud voices. I don't think they were shy. Again, I don't know how far they were from Jesus, but they wanted to make sure that he heard them. And so they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now again, remember, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Compared to grace is getting something we don't deserve. And so they, as a leper, they knew what was coming. There was no cure for leprosy. I mean, it took a miracle for you. If you had leprosy, it was a miracle if you were cured. There was no medicine. There was no procedure that could cure you from that disease. I mean, if you had leprosy, you just got worse and then you died. And so what these men were asking Jesus to do was to intervene, to do something that they could not do for themselves, to do something that no other man could do for them. And they wanted him to have mercy on them and heal this disease that they had. Now, look at verse 14. "And when he saw them," I'm going to go back to something I said Sunday night about the Good Samaritan, about seeing the man that was left on the road beaten and half dead. And I made the point that too many times people go through life and they never notice the hurting people around them. Sometimes even Christians, we get so busy in our schedules, we get so busy in the things that we're caught up in, some good things even, not just bad things, but good things. And Jesus put somebody hurting in our path, and for whatever reason, we don't see them. Well, the Good Samaritan did. He stopped and saw the man that was beaten, left for half dead. Jesus did the same thing to these 10 men. He saw them. He saw their disease. He saw everything that resulted from that disease. He saw the isolation that they lived in. He saw the separation that they had to suffer from their loved ones. He saw the pain. Leprosy was a very painful disease. I mean, as the disease spread through your body, your digits would fall off, your fingers and your toes, your ears, pieces of your flesh. You had big open wounds that would ooze, and it was a very painful disease. So he saw that. He saw the hopelessness of their future. He saw everything that leprosy encompassed in these men. And just like the Good Samaritan that Jesus talked about, that we talked about on Sunday night, Jesus had compassion on them. And he made a decision to heal them. On another occasion, another leper approached Jesus and said, "Master, you have the power to heal me if you wilt." And Jesus says, "I will," and touched him and healed him of his leprosy. And he was going to do the same thing to these 10 men. He heard their cry, he saw their need, and he was about to work a miracle, but he was also cognizant of the Mosaic law, and the Mosaic law was that when a leper was healed, a person that had leprosy was healed, he had to go show himself to the priest, and it was only the priest that could declare him clean. And so, it's verse 14 again, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now, I'm sure these 10 men looked at their bodies, said, "Well, why should we do that? We're not healed." I'm sure these 10 men could still feel the pain that was coursing through their bodies and say, "Well, why should we go to the priest? People that have leprosy only go to the priest." I mean, they weren't welcome in the temple. And they only went to the priest when they were cured and the priest was going to pronounce them clean. And so they looked at themselves. They felt the pain they were still in. Said, "Well, we still have leprosy." They might have said, "Why should we go? There's no reason for us to go because none of us have been healed." But listen. Here were 10 men that asked Jesus for help. Jesus said to them, in answer to their cry, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so they exercised faith. They didn't know why they were going to the priest, but they'd asked Jesus for help, and Jesus had told them what to do. And so their faith says, "Well, we're going to be obedient to what God tells us to do. I was thinking yesterday afternoon a little bit as I was getting ready for tonight. So many times, I've known so many people that have asked God for something. They prayed. Some of them tried to tell God what to do, but they ended up with their prayers, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, just tell me." And God comes to them in a clear way. He didn't speak to them, but he comes to them in a clear way and shows them what he wants them to do. And then they don't do it. I've had people come and talk to me. So, I don't think this is really God. And I said, "Well, describe for me what kind of answer." And they go through all the doors that he's opened and the different circumstances that he put in their life. And I have to say to him, I said, "You know, I can't decide for you, but it sounds to me like God's answered your prayer. Why don't you just do what he said? Why don't you just be obedient? Why don't you just exercise the faith?" Sometimes we can't understand how God's going to work in our life. Sometimes we can't understand what he's about to do because we can't see it. But that's where faith comes in. If we can see it, we don't need faith. If you can see it, you don't need faith. But if you can't see it and you can't understand it, that's what you need faith. Here were 10 guys. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why? We're not healed. But we ask for his help. It seems to me if you're going to ask God's help, you ought to have enough faith when he gives you an answer. Just do it whether you understand it or not. And so that's what these 10 men decided. They couldn't understand why, but they said, "We asked for Jesus' help. He told us what to do. So we're just going to go ahead and do it." And notice the last part of verse 13. "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed as they started for the priest." Again, not knowing why, there was a miraculous occurrence in their bodies. I mean, they were healed. I mean, the sores that were open were closed up. If they had lost digits, I think they came back. I mean, if they'd lost a finger or a toe, when Jesus heals people, he doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way. So if they were missing something, it all came back. And it only came back when they took that step of faith and was obedient to what Jesus told them to do. "You go. I don't know why, but I'm going to go." And their faith was rewarded in that they were healed. The pain was gone. The sores were gone. And then notice what happened. Verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Again, when one saw that he was healed, he noticed that he was healed. Again, the sores were gone. The digits were back. The pain was gone. And he turned back. He was on his way to the priest, just like the other nine. And yet... He noticed. Now, you say, "Preacher, don't you think the other nine noticed?" Yeah, I think the other nine noticed. How could you not notice you were cured of leprosy? How could you not notice? But when he noticed, instead of continuing with the other nine to go see the priest, he turned around. And he glorified God, it says in that verse. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. It wasn't a still, soft, quiet voice. It was a loud voice. He started praising God. And again, why wouldn't you? I mean, you have an incurable disease that's only going to get worse and you're going to die. You have no hope. You live in isolation. You're separated from your family. You can't be a part of society. And Jesus heals you from that disease. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Hey, I'd say the same thing about salvation. And again, you've heard me say it many times. Don't ever get over being excited about what Jesus did for you when he saved you. Don't get over it. I probably shouldn't tell you this. I got it on my schedule. Once a week, I got it on my calendar. If I took you to my room tonight and you looked at my calendar that I have on my desk, for the next 4 weeks, I have a time on my calendar, and I just put remember. That's the word I put, remember. Remember when you were lost. Remember when you were headed for hell. You remember what Jesus did for you when he died on Calvary. And Brother Wayne, I know I tease you a lot. I have a Pentecostal fit sometimes. I get excited. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that God sent His Son to die for me. I was a wicked sinner. I deserve hell. I know that. But He loved me enough to die for me. So this man, when he saw that he was cured of his leprosy, he got excited, and with a loud voice, he began to glorify God. And verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet as a sign of submission and honor to the one that healed him, giving him thanks. And if you look at the words in the Greek, giving him thanks, it means he thanked him over and over and over and over and over again. And notice that last phrase. And he was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. Implies that the other nine, perhaps, were Jews. Here again, the surprise that we see in the Gospels. A Samaritan showing gratitude to Jesus, who was a Jew. The Jews thought the Samaritans were dogs. They were half-breeds. They had no place in the Jewish society. If the other nine were Jews, those were the ones that should have come back and been the most grateful to Jesus, but they went on their way to the priest. I think they noticed, they saw what Jesus did, but they did not stop to come back and thank him for what he did. They took the blessings of God. They took the blessings that God gave them, and they moved on without acknowledging or expressing any thanks for what Christ had done for them. Look at verse 17. Again, here's the Samaritan with loud voice praising God. His down on his face in front of Jesus' feet. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Hey, I healed 10. Where are the 9? How come the other 9 haven't come back to give me thanks? I wonder how many times God asked that question today of his children. Wonder how many times God today has to ask that question about Christians. God pours out his blessings. As some of you testified tonight, he pours out blessings on us every single day. Multitude blessings. Some of them we probably don't even notice. We take them for granted. Some of them we do notice because they're, you know, you can't help but notice when you almost get run over. I mean, those are the kind of blessings that we notice. But there's probably blessings, well, not probably, there are blessings that God bestows on us every day that we don't even notice. And yet, I wonder how many times Jesus has to say, or God has to say, hey, didn't they notice what I did for them? Can't they say thank you? Can't they acknowledge that I was working in their life? And can't they just take a moment to express their gratitude? Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. What a statement that Jesus had to make. The only one that came back to give me thanks was this stranger or foreigner. That same word, stranger, foreigner, and I can't pronounce the Greek word, so I won't even try tonight. But it was written, and it's probably a Hebrew word that was written on the temple, but it was written on a block in the temple, and it was placed, that block was placed in the court of Gentiles next to the entrance to the court of women, which was a part of the temple, as was the rest of the temple, that only Jews could go into. And it said on that block, let no stranger or foreigner enter within the screen and enclosure that surrounds the sanctuary. So the Samaritans were not allowed to enter the temple. If you did so, if a stranger or a Samaritan, and a Samaritan was one example of a stranger, if a stranger entered the temple, they killed them. They were under the penalty of death. You could not enter the temple. And so here was an example of a stranger who could not enter the Jewish temple and yet found grace from the Lord of the Jewish temple. Verse 19. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole is a Greek word. I'll try this one. Sosokin. Sosokin. It means to either heal of disease or to save. Now, since all 10 of them were healed of leprosy, and since this man was healed of leprosy before he came back and gave Jesus thanks, when Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole, he was probably saying, Hey, your faith has resulted in your salvation. Your faith has resulted in you coming to know God in the way that you should know God through me. The nine who didn't come back, they had their body healed. They were cured of leprosy, but nothing else. But this grateful stranger got more. He not only got his body healed, he got his soul healed. He got right with God. He was blessed twice. Blessed twice. And I can't help but think that God might not be trying to teach us a lesson in just the last that last verse, when we notice and are grateful for the blessings that God bestows, when we thank him for those blessings, he probably has some more in heaven. Says, well, since they know this and they were grateful for that, I'm going to pour out some more on them. I'm going to give them some more. Those nine that didn't notice and didn't thank me, well, they got everything they're going to get. But those that are grateful and those that are thankful and those that notice what I do for them, I'm just going to keep the windows of heaven open and I'm going to keep pouring them out. And isn't it strange that we have to learn all this from a stranger, from a Samaritan, from one that was outcast from the Jewish society, and yet that day in this village serves as a perfect example to all of us how we ought to notice what God does and be grateful for what he does. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to stand, have a word of prayer, be dismissed. Again, if I could just meet with the deacons and the trustees out by the front door for just a couple minutes. And if they normally join you for prayer, you go ahead and start without them, and they'll be in there in just a minute. So let's stand together. Brother Jack Niles, I'm going to ask you, please, sir, if you'll dismiss us with a word of prayer.